Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. All right, happy Tuesday, everybody. We want to thank God for another day of being here and allowing us the chance to reassemble once again. I want to thank all of you that were here yesterday on the show to listen to DJ Domewrecker talk about his life and his magical music stuff and everything that was going on. I want to thank Devon Lewis because he is a radio station owner that was out here to pay his respects and ask his questions. I want to thank Deacon Zeddy Williams because he's always available at all times to help us along with this. My team, Monster Miles and Lady Diamond and Elaine Yeves and DJ Domewrecker, as well as to our show affiliate, our sponsor, Mr. Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 Kiss FM Radio in New York, currently with iSoulRadio.com. You can hear Barry do his magic on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m. and on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. And when he's not doing that, he is Grace of New York City with all of the grown and sexy R&B events as the CEO of Track One Entertainment, which I am happily available to say that I am a part of. So to all of you that have now brought up our listener count to 14,656 people, I want to say thank you. Thank you for hitting the iPods. Thank you for hitting the archives. Thank you for listening in live on the stream. Thank you for calling in on the panel. Thank you very much because everything that we are trying to do on the show is important to us as well as it is to you, so we're trying our best. We're very happy to say that you guys are responding by saying, by your listenership, that we are making a difference. So that's what we're trying to do. Okay, today we have a couple of special things that we're going to do. The first thing is, and it was supposed to be in the beginning, but it's going to be toward the end of the show, hopefully, if everything should go okay with our co-host because she wasn't well. We will have the debut of our Writer Showcase segment called All Hands on Deck. This is the segment, ladies and gentlemen, where we have opened up for writers of all ages, especially our school-age children from kindergarten right up, for teachers to have the chance to showcase some outstanding writing, to give our children motivation, to get involved with literary works, to keep up the reading, to be able to write properly. And when they are picked by their teachers, we will be here giving them a photo op if they're in New York, as well as showcasing their piece online and on our website, the same way that we do our entrepreneurs and our unsigned music artists. So this is the chance that all of you have, parents and teachers included, to help make a difference in our children's educational journey and give them a shot at having a great future. Okay, so now, the other thing that we're going to be talking about today, and it is going to be a doozy because it has already been heating up the Facebook pages with our pre-broadcast topic question, is two big figures out there that has engaged in something that we might consider a not so pleasant reaction. So here's the deal. First, let's start with Jay-Z. Everybody is aware of the Barney scandal with the racial profiling, and also everyone is aware that Jay-Z has a pending deal to open up a clothing and jewelry line with Barney. Now, the controversy is everyone feels that he's sort of selling out. The question on the table tonight is Jay-Z just doing his business thing, or is it become now that Black Pride and the identity of Black Pride has become a bargaining chip at the business negotiating table? Now, the other person that's going to be on blast tonight is Henry Louis Gates. You guys all know him. He's the historian that not so long ago, he himself was a victim of racial profiling by police. That police actually stopped him from getting into his own house, saying that he was an intruder, to his own house, and they jammed him up pretty good for some time until they straightened it out. Now, you would think this person would have learned his lesson from there and has a different viewpoint on racial relations, but apparently not, because he decided, ladies and gentlemen, wait for it, that I'm going to publish an article that states that slavery from the 1800s was not on the fault of the white people, but it was the slaves' fault because Africans pretty much sold us over there. What's your opinion? We'd like to know. Well, the number to call here is 347-327-9967. I want to hear from you because every one of you has so much to tell me off the air. So you call in, you give me your opinion, you let me know what you think. You know I don't bite, so just have fun. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go out with Jaheim just in case for the early break. As soon as the break is over, we'll be back to start the topic, okay? Here's Jaheim.
Yeah.
listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. That was Jaheim with Just In Case. Love that groove. All right. We will get started with the topic discussions first, and hopefully my co-host was on her way to the hospital, so hopefully everything is okay with her and she'll make it back. However, we are going to get started on this topic because you know that over the last few weeks, we have been dealing on and off with racial problems, with, you know, high instances of racism, with black men being shot unarmed by cops. We have dealt with this. Now, there are so many people who have inboxed me or written back, you know, saying to me that they don't think it's about race because, you know, it's just that these were lousy people. And to those people, I say, if you're not racist, that would bother you, especially if you're not on the receiving end of racism. And unfortunately, African Americans are like the highest target of it. And if you're not an African American and you're also just a person who believes in human equality, this type of talk will bother you. And I say thank you for that because that makes you good people. But you can't plug up your eyes, your ears, and your mouth and think it's going to go away because it's highly, highly, highly alive. It's very much alive and it's very much active. And because they can't just, you know, line people up anymore and beat them in public, they're doing it different ways. Okay, if you don't believe me, check the budget cuts. Every single time that there's a big crisis with the budget, they cut something that helps the minorities live, food stamps, housing, you know, anything that is something that minorities depend on for basic living. This was the first thing that's negotiated on the table. Now look at where we're at now. Government shut down because higher-ups did not want lower-class people, okay, to get health care because they will have to fund it from their pockets. So these are little things that you cannot close your eyes to and not question what's the basis or the motive behind it. So now let's go to what's on the table tonight. Now this is sort of a different type of racial relation angle, and so I'm going to start it off. Now let's start with who I am going to say out loud, from my opinion, is a complete and utterly confused idiot, and that is going to be Mr. Henry Louis Gates. Okay? Now, here's a historian, a man that has written for the New York Times, a man that has spoken about our history in articles, well-published, well-versed, who also was the victim of racial profiling, okay? Was about to go into his house and pretty much was pegged as an intruder to his own home and had to explain himself. I don't know if he lost his keys that day or whatever the case was, locked himself out, but whatever the reason was, nobody thought that this prominent black man could possibly be the owner of a house that he was going into. So what happens? The police jam him up. He's going to have to explain himself. He's got to keep his hands to the outside, make sure that the police don't think he's armed, because you know what happens whenever they see an African-American about to reach somewhere and it's not out in the open. If they pretty much got to play, you know, what is it, Where is Thumbkin, to make sure that all their fingers are showing so that, you know, they can be absolutely sure that there's nothing to hide from the cops. All right, well, this man was a victim of that. What does he do a couple of years later? He writes right into the hands of our oppressor. And he says, wait for it, all the hell that those slaves went through, all of the fathers that watched their wives and children get ripped out of their hands and sold off and beaten and raped and violated, killed on sight simply because their skin color wasn't as quote-unquote pretty as they felt it should be. Okay? Nope. Wasn't their fault, was ours. Why? Because everybody knows there was African trading and pro-European traders that pretty much had some cross-table negotiations to sell property, and they had slaves that were considered bargaining property. Not for nothing, if I was standing in front of the man's typewriter, computer, word processor, whatever, I'm not too sure that I would be a calm, rational person, because I'd wonder what kind of drugs he was taking. That's just my opinion. Now, moving on to the next modern-day prominent figure, Jay-Z, Hov. All right. Jay-Z started in the projects of Brooklyn. apparently reported he used to be a drug dealer. Now he's a prominent rich man, right? And here is yet another instance that we have been speaking about on our Black Empowerment segments, where here is yet another African-American that has made it to the status of being able to make a difference, to being a voice, to being a positive figure, a change, you know, to re-empowering Black communities, right? What does he decide to do? Well, aside from locking down a maternity ward so Queen Bee could have Blue Ivy and stop everybody else from being able to see their babies, who they feel were queen bees or princes, and being able to do it because he's, wait for it, Jay-Z. Okay? Well, now we have this man in the middle of, after he done bought everything else, I think he bought the Nets and got kicked off the Nets or sold out from the Nets or whatever it is. I really don't know because I don't care about either one of them. Not the Nets, not Jay-Z. It doesn't bother me one way or the other. However, it doesn't seem to me that he's pretty much as respected as he thinks he is either. But people will take the money, so let's see. If that's what you want to put forth as yourself, that's who you want to be, you want to be money, great. But now let's look at where morals comes in, okay? I got so many mixed responses today about the pre-broadcast question. And one of the things that I got was, he's not obligated to do anything. He isn't. Nobody is. But the question then becomes, and I believe another one of my posters posted this question, it becomes a question of morality over money or vice versa. There comes a point in time where you're going to have to decide which one you're willing to compromise. Now, let's look at the assets versus the liabilities here, okay? Jay-Z is quite rich, okay? Barney's is quite rich. Barney's is a white-owned store, has everything they need. The most elite people go to shop there. Obviously, you know you're going to pay a pretty penny for a shoelace if you decide to get it from Barney's. So here's my question. You go in, you're in a pending deal to start a clothing and jewelry line to add to your multiple masses of wealth already. Now you find out that not one, not two, but three. And two of the three incidents, by the way, for those of you who don't know what the third incident was, this year Wiz Khalifa was added to the list of Barney racially profiled customers with his girlfriend. Okay, well, not one, not two, but three. Wait for it, three. Three African-American consumers went into Barney's. Two of them are of high profile. They're rich. They're famous. They can shell out the money. Any tag you have, they have the money to pay for it. Now, they're walking in to go buy. Well, the first girl wanted to buy a $2,500 bag. Well, she's black. She's young. She couldn't possibly want that without trying to steal it. So let's follow her around, and then let's get her jammed up with humiliation. Then let's look stupid at the end because if somebody then caught us out there, now we look dumb because she's proven that she's legit. All right, run along now. Next, Trayon Kristen. And he walks in happy as, you know, a kid in a toy store because he's a young actor who's got money, and he's been watching this belt on his favorite rapper for years, then saved up his money. Now he's got the credit card and the prestige to go into the places that all the famous people go into to buy it retail. Now he gets up there. The first thing they did was look at him like, wait a minute, what's this young boy doing? And then he's looking at that belt. Definitely has to be a red alert. Let's raise the flag. But let's just watch him a little bit. We will let him know we're watching, but not really let him know we're watching. Let him get all the way up to the cash register, swipe his card, sign the receipt, and as he was leaving, they called security. Why? Because here's a young black guy with a credit card that clearly can't be his, and he clearly couldn't afford no diamond-studded rapper's belt. He's showing them his receipt. He's showing them his card. He's matching up signatures, and yet and still, they don't want to hear it until, thank you, Santa. Here comes a customer who recognizes him and recognizes Wiz Khalifa, as a matter of fact. Now suddenly, let's just racially profile now, humiliate, and we'll get talked about later. Then there's Wiz Khalifa, embarrassed as hell with his girlfriend after he shelled out not one, not two, not three, not 4,000. People wait for it. $16,000 for all of his purchases. As he went from one room, he purchased and went to another one and purchased and paid and purchased and paid. And he still was treated like a thief. He still was not believed to be a person until somebody said, yo, that's Wiz Khalifa. And, of course, they wouldn't know what the hell Wiz Khalifa was, so they're going to listen out a little longer and try to figure out, wait, what is a Wiz Khalifa? So another person goes, yo, that's the rapper. I love all your songs, dog. Wait a minute, maybe we need to sit back and see who this guy is. You think we made a mistake? Let's blame it on the chef. Let's blame it on our incompetent security guard who we told to go do this, but we can say it's him because he's expendable. All right, so that's three. In my book, in my house, my children do something three times. It's called the baseball rule. Three strikes, you out. Okay, now here comes Jay-Z. Oh, I want a clothing and jewelry line. I want it to say Rockefeller. I want it to say Hove. I don't care what he branded it with. And I want to go to Barney's. Now, why Barney's? Don't they have enough money already that they're taking from black people while racially profiling them? This is my viewpoint, people. If you want to be big and you really want to show that you're something and you don't want to be the victim or the portrayed as a person, I see you, Carla, I'll be with you in just a sec. If you don't want to be portrayed as a person that's a sellout or have no morals toward what you've gone through or respect for the race that you come from or what the struggles in the race represent, why not withdraw that deal from Barney's, who has everything they need, and take it to FUBU, who's a black-owned fashion place, who apparently may not be doing so well because people find something up with the way that they style their fashions. So why not take your expertise, your prestige, your money, and your power and go to a black-owned place, give them some play, give them some fashion tidbits, and maybe even say, you know what, I'm going to give you this deal, but we got to straighten up that fashion a little bit. And guess what? Part of it, a mandatory stipulation, is going to be that when we make a certain amount of sales, proceeds is going to go back into the community, something that's an active delivering black community program. Okay? Why Barney's? Don't they have enough money already? Aren't they already overcharging for a buckle? So my opinion and the topic question is, was this innocent business decisions or is the identity of their black pride simply a negotiating chip at the bargaining table in corporate decisions? Okay, that's my question, and my answer is hell yeah. They're selling out in this respect, and I'm not a person for racial conspiracy theories or none of that stuff. I do know racism is alive and well. I've seen it. I've lived it. I've watched it happen to my loved ones and people I don't even know. But in this respect, in this situation, my opinion is he needed to do something way different because at this moment I consider him a sellout. I'm going to bring in our first caller for the evening, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, bear with me. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Good evening, Ms. Barnett.
Hi. Good evening, Deacon. How are you?
I am blessed. And a lot of other people are blessed, too, but they don't realize it. Because if they would realize that they wouldn't do the things they do and make decisions that they make. I was listening to your comments and the Jay-Z situation. You can bet your bottom dollar that anything that Barney's makes is not going to any black community. There's no doubt about that. And I would like to say to Jay-Z, whether you know it or not, you were blessed by God. You did not earn that talent that you have. It is a God-given talent. And he blessed you with that talent for you to be a blessing to someone else. And he doesn't say that you go to somebody that is well off and has probably been well off longer than you have. Barney's has been around for a long time. But I tell you this much, even if I had the funds to go into Barney's, I would not. Because I don't see where I could spend my money there and it would benefit my people. So one thing I would definitely not do, and I wouldn't advise any of my people that I deal with in whatever business that I would be in to go and make any purchases with their business. I understand that Jay-Z is from Marcy Projects, which at one point used to be my running grounds at one point. So I understand any and all things that have gone on there because I was a part of it at one time. So,
I heard he had a Marcy project going on, and I haven't seen that come to fruition yet.
Well, he needs to let that be known than selling out to Barney's or any other white-owned business. Because look at where you come from. Come on now. Come on now. You're from the hood. Don't lose sight of that. You know, never forget where you came from, because those same people that you're putting money into were looking down on you before you got to where you are now.
I think
they're probably still looking down on you anyway.
I think that my exponential problem with this is that, you know, I have a problem with people using the struggle of something without having the value of it behind it as a scheme or a gimmick or a theme to move on to their next issue while they're doing whatever. You know, it's like somebody speaking about slavery simply because they're black but they never lived it, nor do they value the struggles that their ancestors did to get us to where we are, because clearly they're wasting their life and they're making no qualms about it. You know, I've said before on the show, and I'll say it again, we have a problem with the grumble in the corner disease. Everybody grumbles in the corner, nobody makes a move. Everybody is well-versed on the problem, but no one's making an effort to make changes because everybody is trying to look at the fact that they can't get the big thing. How about working on the little things that you have?
Yeah.
We already know what the sticks are, and we already know what the obstacles are. How do you work around it? If you're driving a car and you're trying to go straight somewhere and there's a detour or a blockage, don't you find a way to go around and get to the same destination a different way? I mean, that's just my analogy of certain things. But I don't feel that he should be able to be walking around talking, saying how he came from rags to riches as an African-American from the Brooklyn Projects, and then turn around and want to do everything he can to forget or to ignore how that he had to pass through there to get where he is now. It seems to me like he's just having fun. It's like a kid with too many toys open at the same time. No value for neither one. So that's my situation with it. I have a problem with it. How can you invest more money, millions more money, because you know all you have to do is say it's a Jay-Z brand, and it will bring in plenty of revenue.
Yeah.
But why
yes.
on earth would you want to support a person that's going to turn around and take your revenue, smile in your face while they have the corporate knife in your back, simply because, you know what it is, you're just another one of them?
There are plenty of black-owned businesses and the fashion design companies that are black-owned that would really appreciate whatever he could draw to them. But I guess that's not in his head right now. I guess, you know, hey, what can you say?
It's sad. I mean, this man, he can speak to the millions. He could speak to the masses. He can, you know, he could spin out records that barely anybody could understand what his lyrics really mean, because there always seems to be a hidden message to it. But yet people will buy his records by the dozen and talk about it by the hour. And yet and still, instead of it being about the flash and the sensationalism of the Hove scenario, why not be Hove and be somebody that's a person? He's a shrewd businessman, clearly.
Yeah,
he knows
definitely.
How to get his way into big spots. So why not take that big spot and make it a platform for something that's going to be a more of a return investment and moral and keep you in great standing, not just this fancy rapper that made it big that everybody can go, yeah, I want to be like Hov when I get older. You know, but say, yo, this man really did something. And, you know, I looked him up. He has a lot of philanthropy attached to his name. But you know what I have a problem with? They're basic, what I call broad blanket charities. Things that have already been established, things that have been in there for years, things that, I haven't really seen the fruits of the labor to where I live. But his name is all over it. So, you know, they have the brand of Jay-Z. But I haven't seen or heard really anything directly that he's done himself. I don't think I've even seen him. You know how, like, even the NBA players, they have, like, a day where they go and they do soup kitchen duties on Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And they interact with children for youth. I haven't even seen him do that. I mean, I might be wrong because I'm not really, I don't follow rappers like that, but if I'm wrong, this would be the time for any of you to call the hotline and fill me in. But I have not seen him do any personal charity work to the point where he's standing there and saying, you know what, little man, I was at your point and I had ambitions like you one day. Let me see what you got. I haven't seen that. Don't tell me that you're with the Payless or Pay Stomps or Stomp Flippers or I don't know what it is. Don't tell me that you're with the Red Cross. You know, the Red Cross is the one doing the work. Your name is just on it, so you can look good. I mean, that's the way it looks to me.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen you come pick me up when our shelter was in jeopardy. Exactly what is it that you're showing for yourself? Now, let's go over to this prune of a historian. I mean, the best he could do after his own personal experience is sit there and big up the violators. Yes, they jammed me up in front of my own house and I tried to break into my own property. But it wasn't their fault that we are where we are right now. How does that sound exactly? I'm a well-known...
Doesn't sound very good.
Sounds like confusion to me.
Yeah.
Stockholm Syndrome, maybe? Stockholm Syndrome?
Yeah.
We have another caller in, sir. Let me bring them in. Hold on. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Stockholm Syndrome.
Yes.
I thought
welcome
the
back.
Topic was completely different.
Yes. No, you know, we're talking about Henry Louis Gates and Jay-Z. Now, Henry Henry Louis Gates, you know, African-American author, writes for the New York Times, was a victim of racial profiling in his own home not very long ago. And
I think he was drunk and they just grabbed him. And because he was real mouthy, they just took him to prison. Whereas if he had evil and, say, remained in his place, the officer would have checked his ID, pull out of his keys and said, oh, this is your house. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But you know we ain't going to do that. We've been stepped on too long.
Nope. Well, the thing is, after that experience where he got it firsthand, he comes out and he writes a article about slavery. And he says, wait for it. The slave masters were not responsible for slavery in the 1800s. The Africans were.
Now, how is that, pray tell?
Well, according to his history, well, there were very prominent African traders or business traders, and they had a relationship with European traders. And you know what? They were very much known. They were well versed in trading with each other. And you know what? Slaves were part of the bargaining chip. So
I think I did read that somewhere, that we traded some of our own brothers and sisters into slavery, and it was common practice.
What I
like Haiti and other countries.
Yeah.
Like, look into that Captain Phillips thing where they where the blacks come and grab the boat. Traditionally, I think the Europeans just came over and rob the country of its diamonds, oil, or whatever, and saw no problem with it. So when the bad guys, which are the blacks, take over the boat, we can sort of see why that is going down, I think.
Well, according to him, in addition to the fact that they have, Texas has just voted that they're going to take out the whole entire era of the civil, I don't know if it's a civil rights era, but they're going to take out the portion in the history books that talk about slavery to say it never existed. Now, you have to be one real confused brother. Who? I don't know if it's the meds kicking in because he's kind of up there in age, but, you know, I don't know. Maybe he drinks a little too much and it's not coinciding with his AARP scripts or something. I don't know. But one confused brother.
He just doesn't have a good grip on reality.
And I wonder again. I wonder again. What on earth? I mean, this is, to me, it's just the fact that this is going to be something that is going to be a mainstream crossover, well, good read to someone. That it's not going to just be about us reading something one of our own wrote, but everybody's going to read it and the other side's going to love it. So my question is, because in his respect, I believe it was about upping the ante on his literary career, whereas Jay-Z, I believe, I see you, caller, I'll bring you in just a sec, whereas Jay-Z, I believe, just wants to be a master empire person, you know? And, you know, ethics and morals and race relations be damned. So my question tonight
Jay-Z
is,
say it's all green to me. I get more of it. I have no problem.
Yeah, that's the problem. And that's a very big problem.
Well, I just think that you know, my question on the table tonight is, are the moves of these two gentlemen simply innocent business decisions, or is their black pride pretty much for sale and or a negotiating chip at the corporate bargaining table? So let me ask
you. To scratch that innocent innocent business deal, you can scratch that.
You can't have innocent business, can you?
No.
Very nice.
No. Is right now, that's not even in existence. So let's take that off the table. So we already know what it is.
All right. Well, let me bring in our other caller to hear what they have to say. Hang on. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you, Katie. How you doing?
Hi. Who am I speaking with?
This is Marvin. I know I said I wasn't going to chime in. I'm not, you know, too good talking on the radio or whatnot. But, you know, the topic that you're discussing is right on point. You know, I'm down here in Kentucky, down here in the South. I see it go on daily, you know, the persecution of individuals trying to go in there and buy something that they think that that person shouldn't be able to buy. And to see that Jay-Z, somebody, like you said, in a prominent position, to use that as a bargaining chip, to say that he's not going to deal with it on an emotional level, it's just, you know, it's astounding to me.
I agree. Business is never emotional. I don't think that, you know, under no circumstances am I speaking on terms of emotional. I'm speaking on terms of integrity. I don't care how rich you are. At some point in time, all the money in the world has to have some sort of integrity attached. Even if, you know how a lot of these companies that are crooked as hell and they have to, we are here for the people. We are here to serve you. We come into your home so we can learn what you do. You know damn well you haven't seen not one of those corporate people show up to your door to help you even use the broom they just sold you for $500.
Hey, not a dime. The thing is, most of the companies that's in the black neighborhood, most of the business in the black neighborhood is causing the capital drain on the black neighborhood. That's why the black neighborhood look the way they look, because as soon as they shop close down, the black neighborhood goes bankrupt. I can understand Jay-Z as far as being a businessman when you make business savvy decisions, but at the same point in time, this is the same man that called Harry Belafonte a boy. So we know where Jay-Z stands. We know how he feels on issues concerning, you know, what black folks go through.
And I'm with you on that, too. And I'm with you even in understanding that he wants to keep what could be the biggest business deal in the world on the table. Why do it with Barney's? Why not take it to FUBU? I said this before. I mean, I know there's plenty of other black-owned businesses. But you know what? There's two ways that there's three things, actually, that could come from that. First of all, he's not dealing with little fish in a big pond. He's dealing with a big fish in a small pond when he's dealing with...
Exactly.
So that's number one, where he can take his expertise and make his mark right there. So that's number one. Number two is
mm-hmm.
black. Okay? It's a black-owned
mm-hmm.
business. So
right.
why not take that big income, that big potential vessel, and take it to a black-owned business that clearly is struggling? Because I know that I've heard a lot of people turn their nose
mm-hmm.
up because for whatever the reason is, they're not too happy with the styling on some of the jeans, or
mm-hmm.
some of the guys say
right.
that the jeans look a little too feminine. Well, that would
mm-hmm.
be... Jay-Z's perfect thing to do, bring in the deal, and
exactly.
say to number one, I need to let you, you're going to have to allow me to help you change up your style a little bit. Jay-Z is a flashy dresser.
Right.
He definitely know what to say, especially for guys. So
mm-hmm.
this is the perfect thing for him to do and sort of make FUBU a piece of his own. So now that's one. Two, he's going to, like I said, be a big small pond and then take over the big industry somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing is, he can make a mandatory stipulation that once they get to X amount of sales, because you know there will be sales, okay,
right.
he can take a portion of that and give it back to a real program that's really instantly delivering to the black community to help him out. And he would look good
exactly.
all across the board, whether he really cared about it or not. Okay?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So that's
yeah, use $300 to buy Rod a new belt.
You know.
So that's fine.
I know my girl beat me up if I heard told her that spent $300 for a belt.
I mean, seriously, if we look at the amount of money that we're paying out to industries that don't care about us, that don't put not one cent back into our community, then, you know, we're just playing the fool. Basically, with Kenny Louis Gates, with Jay-Z, with their outing, with their basically turning their back on the black community, they just showing that manumission meritorious is still in full effect. In order for them to get their so-called prominence, in order for them to look more of a better person, turn your back on your race. That's the ultimate. And
yeah, but at the same time, though, using what makes the rags-to-riches story so much more, he's using the racial struggles that we talk about, deal with, live with every day to
yes.
keep it moving. Look where I'm at
yeah.
now, and I came from the project. Look where I remember when my mama had to go outside and spend money for five kids. You know, that type of
Man.
Thing.
Right.
People are really living that.
Yeah,
you understand?
Still.
So if you made it out, listen, if you're going to be a turncoat, then go sing something in another genre.
Exactly.
You know? Do that.
Exactly.
Don't hang on to the strings, you know, be a strap. I can't stand that.
No.
You know, I don't like that.
That's
like
fakeness in full effect.
It's like modern-day young folks saying, I'm not going to get a job because white people ain't never going to give us a job anyway because they were slave masters to us. You were the slave.
Mm-hmm.
It was you that they beat up and
Come on, man.
Your ancestors who fought and went through all that for you.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, it's basically where we're basically... The saying that always goes that they made us love us, hate ourselves, and love their wealth. That is the attitude that has been presented from Henry Louis Gates to Jay-Z to Oprah Winfrey to all those people who will take all of that money and go and invest in, go and buy something. Okay, yeah, it's nice. It's a belt. It's $300-something. Okay, whatever. But he could take, and I'm speaking on Trayvon Christian, he could take that $300-something and did something way better with it. Something
yeah.
way better than to go out and just spend $300-something on a belt. What is that saying about the mind and the attitudes of black people? Okay, yes,
that's right.
You know what, though? I'm not going to put too much on that young boy because I'm going to tell you something. He had been admiring the rapper that the belt belonged to or that the rapper belt was in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand that. I don't know. The boy don't look like he's older than 17. But, okay.
Right.
He was doing what children who finally get their money saved up would do. And I'm
yeah.
not saying, listen, that goes for all races, all ages, all whatever. Be it in India, they like a suri they couldn't buy without their love your mom, saying yes or no, whatever. I don't blame him for that. I mean, I think that that's just later on his parents teach him a little bit more about money. But he saved his money. That's what his pride was
right.
about. He was able to go
right.
buy it with his own saved money.
Right.
And it was he could get a piece of the idol, the man he idolized, and walk around
mm-hmm.
and he earned it.
Right.
And he earned it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was probably speaking too fast to speak on Trayon Christian in that aspect, you know. But, I mean, we as a people got to understand that, you know, yes, we do have a choice to buy where we want to buy from. But at least we can do it at a strategic manner. At least we can say, okay, what has this company done for my community? What is this company going to do for my community? That's where we need to start using our buying power. I mean, they predict us to have a $1.1 trillion spending rate in 2015. But yet, our communities, our households are still in shambles. We must start thinking as a people, we must start thinking strategically when we spend our money, because that's where our power will be at. Not in the overconsumption, because they still look at us, okay, well, I can do anything to them. Like you said, Barney done did this not once, not twice, but three times. Yet you still have African-Americans going to Barney's, spending their money. It's insane. It's insane. Jay-Z, he's a man. He's a man who feel like he's on top of the world. He's no longer as black as, you know, like we think he is. In his raps, in his lyrics, straight like you said, it's exaggeration. He's faking the front. Yeah, he's from here, he's from there, but at the same time, he don't want nothing to do with that.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And I feel that if, you know what, you know, be who you're going to be, if you're going to be whatever. So let me pose the question to you.
All right.
Do you feel that the gestures of these two gentlemen, okay, is simple, innocent business transactions, or is it that their black pride is for sale pretty much?
Oh, well, I feel like their black pride is certainly for sale. It's a bargaining deal. It's a bargaining chip, just like you said. You know, he held out. The reason why he probably held out in KZ is because Barney's came to him with another offer. I definitely feel that, you know, the prominent people at this point in time does not have the same pride that once, you know, black folks of prominent position did have. They don't have that anymore. It's clearly all about the green with them, and they don't care who knows it now. You know, it's basically, I got to get mine. And that's the attitude that he's taking. That's the attitude that Henry Louis Gates took when they dare throw the black race under the bus. Not only they threw us under the bus, they shoved us and they jumped in the driver's side and drove over us.
Well, I say this often, and, you know, Zeddy and Rod, you have heard me say this before because, you know, you've
mm-hmm.
been with me. But I say that we have two diseases we suffer from. One is the grumble in the corner disease, and two is
mm-hmm.
the NIMBY, not in my backyard. First,
yeah.
it does affect me, but I'm not going to do a damn thing but scream and gossip and get mad in a corner. And then
right.
it doesn't affect my backyard. I don't want nothing to do with it. I'm going to walk away and pretend I didn't see it. Like, either way you look at it, both of those things are counterproductive to us. And I understand,
it
it's scary. You know, you
mm-hmm.
feel like you're going up against a whole lot of people, but if you stop looking to try to grab the big beast by the horns and try to work your way up into strategizing how to tame it first or learn the
mm-hmm.
way it moves, you know, then you might get somewhere. And so I hear this is aggravating to me. Well, that's the way things are. No matter
right.
how hard we try, it's never going to get here. So you don't try?
Right. Wow.
So you don't try. So the guy that's wearing the you know, the last name, you know, Weinberg, is going to get $5,000 more a year for the same position you might be more qualified for, but you're not going to take the top position that you can get because
mm-hmm.
this guy's going to get a little more than you.
Right.
How about you take the in and do what you got to do, learn what you need to learn, and then go off and do for you?
Exactly.
And you be the first person to take that one step that's somewhere. And then somebody else will see what you did and possibly take another step. And now that's two steps that were made. This is the way I see it. Everybody keeps on thinking that these businesses that are these multi-billion dollar businesses happened because somebody already had a skyscraper made and there was already a employee base in place and there was a bank account already sitting there, and it just dropped on the head. Okay? That didn't happen. Wendy's is a billion-dollar franchise, and it started
right.
with a fat, greedy guy who didn't like the fact that, you know, McDonald's sold small burgers, and he said so. He said, I was greedy, and I liked it. And I wasn't paying $3 for a burger where I got only, you know, a quarter size of beef. So he made his own burger, his own way. And
I love Wendy's for that fact.
Right.
They give you real fries.
I don't know if any of
Wendy's
you have ever heard of
fries.
I like McDonald's fries better. I don't know. But I don't know if any of you heard of the company Herbalife. Have any of you heard of that?
Plant growth.
It's an herbal nutritional and health company.
Yeah.
That anything you take chemically to treat something, they have an herbal remedy. Now, I used to be an independent distributor for that company, and I'll swear by the product because I battled the weight problem for a long time. I went on every crash diet that came out, trying to lose 12 pounds after my firstborn was born. And by the time I finished playing with all these drugs and the echinacea and all the stuff that was in it, I wind up gaining 30 pounds.
Mm.
So I was like done. And then this thing, not only did it have me lose 60 pounds in 2 months, but it helped my metabolism and it helped reverse a couple of, you know, some medical stuff that I had going on with me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only way I can go out and be a good salesperson is by knowing I'm selling something I believe in. So this guy got started because his mother, all right, had a weight issue. She went up, she went down, she tried this, she tried that. Everything that she was trying had an upper, then she needed something to bring it down, so then it was down. Eventually, in her quest to lose weight, she wound up losing her life to a drug overdose.
Mm.
Okay, so after he grieved, he went in and made it his mission to go out there and find a natural way to help people solve their weight problem. And then not only did he do well, but he made shakes. You know, when they say these are the diet shakes, Slim Fast, I remember when they said it was this mocha chocolate, and chocolate was my favorite. It used to taste like a chocolate-scented chalk dust. Then Nutrisystem came out. I think it was Nutrisystem. There was another one before Nutrisystem that had, like, freeze-dried stuff, and you just put hot water, and it became a meal like the astronauts.
Mm-hmm.
That actually worked for me. I lost 11 pounds. So it was like little things. And then this I came into because I was answering a work-from-home ad.
Mm-hmm.
So when I found out what it was, that's how I got into it. But this guy started with his powder in a Ziploc bag that he sold out of the trunk of his car at 18 years old. And he's now, he died a billionaire. Worldwide billionaire. Worldwide.
There's another guy, Dr. Sebi, who does the same thing. He looks for natural herbs that help the body heal itself and lose weight and all the other great stuff.
Well, the one thing I do know about Herbalife, they did their research. And I mean, they did everything they could think of doing with regards to finding an herbalist, an actual MD to be on their staff to oversee it. They got to know what goes on with the cardiac system, how this works, and everything that they promised it would do, it did. Including, I had a cellulite patch on the side of my thigh that no matter how big or small I was, it was always a little pouch. And I took one of the things that they say targeted cellulite, which, you know, everybody was saying that, you know, no matter what people say, the promise to get rid of cellulite is not really true. Well, this was. Which made me go from having the same four customers for 4 months to by my fifth month, after I applied my excitement about it, I wind up having 120 customers. And then it bloomed from there. So it was quite a big thing because it was something that I wanted to do. I was so happy with the results I got that I
mm-hmm.
wanted to share it with somebody else, and I gave it back to single mothers, postpartum mothers, guys trying to gain weight, you know, women that have been on the up and down diet struggle. That's what it's called, giving back. Now, here is Jay-Z and, you know, the idiot, okay, that's talking about, you know, all these things. Well, Jay-Z's not actually saying it. He's just acting the part. But this one actually said it out of his mouth. Like, you know, and I'm picturing the powers that be going, yes, we got one. You know, so it's like you are in a position, you are in a position that has been something that has been a dangling carrot, that the closer you got, the higher they lifted it. You got there. You made it. This is your chance to actually do something to empower where you came from, to give back, to build back. Nobody said you have to live in the neighborhood. But by all means, you can never just keep looking forward without remembering that there was a behind you somewhere. And you choose to go in there and fund the very people who racially profile your people and will do the same to you when your money runs dry. I don't get that. I don't get it. Give them yet another corner to take. Another way to edge the minorities out of the way. But let me not relinquish the struggle, because that's my niche. That's my pitch to the world. I'm over here. I don't want people to just see me as a rich guy they can't relate to. I want them to see hope from the projects. Riding in a limousine. Being able to shut down a whole maternity ward so that me and my baby can come in and help. I have the power to say, yeah, I'm gonna do the boycott of Florida for Trayvon Martin. Next day, yeah, I think I changed my mind. Sell out. And that's what I will say. You're selling out. I don't think your morality, your integrity, I don't think black pride, I don't think anything that makes a person worth being dignified beyond any materialistic gain or means, okay, matters to him, to either of these gentlemen. Because if I can get bigger as an author in the New York Times, selling out my own people, said Henry Louis Gates. Let me say the biggest thing that they've been dying for somebody to say out loud that's not coming from their mouth. And if I want to be big shot and be rubbing elbows with all the people that used to point fingers at me, let me go and shake hands with the biggest racially profiling business there is, said Jay-Z. I don't understand why I'm being demonized. That was his quote in the newspaper. What? Come again? Say what now? You don't understand why you're being, oh, no. Wait for it. I stand corrected. He didn't say, why am I being demonized? He said, I don't understand why I'm being unfairly demonized.
Mm-hmm.
What? I don't know. What has he done since he's been rich? The 40-40 club, which is an overpriced club that has an elite status that you have to go into, and when you get in there, you're spending more money. You got all these high-definition televisions to blow up your VIP room because this is Sean Carter's thing. It's the 40-40 club. Everybody across the land is going to want to be a part of this.
He's trying to serve two gods, and it's not going to work.
Speaking of gods, the fact that he's been rumored to be involved with the Illuminati, I don't know if that helps shed some light on the situation.
Well, there's all kinds of rumors about Illuminati, and it's not very good rumors neither. You know, a whole lot of crazy stuff
going on.
It's
a very sad situation because, you know, with on top of all the hammers we're already getting, we seem to be the one that's driving the nail in to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as much as it might be screaming from the mountaintop, I would rather still say it until I no longer have breath and still try. I'd rather try and fail than never try at all.
And you guys do realize that slavery does still exist. There is a modernized slavery today.
I do.
It really is. And lot of that modernized slavery is self-enslavement. You know, we all do some things that we will self imprison ourselves, and not just physically, but in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
you know. And when you do that, that's a lot worse than being in physical jail itself or being in chains, physical chains itself. When you're enslaved in the mind, that's really deep. That's really deep. And you have a lot of our people that hit a high celebrity status and they lose touch of everything because for the simple fact they let that green brainwash them. And the enemy puts on darker shades on them so they can't see reality.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody responded to the pre-broadcast question today. I don't know who on the panel has the background noise, but it's kind of echoing back into the mic, so if you guys can try to control that, please. One of the things that one of my responders said today was, it looks like, you know, the theory of more money, more problems comes to light on them. And I think it's not just problems to the point where, you know, the paparazzi's after you or your life is not private anymore. I think it's more like you yourself. The more that you know you can get, the less you start trying to temper things, you know, to keep things even, to remember where you came from, to, you know, to do things in moderation. And I think that in turn gives you a sense of entitlement or godlike feeling that, you know, you forget that one day this all could go away in the drop of a hat. How many lottery winners that have never had money before won the huge jackpot and was bankrupt within the next year?
Yeah, I've seen it happen.
Quite often. Matter of fact, it's almost like a pattern. They're not thinking investments. They're thinking about when I get this money, I'm going to get everything I always wanted to get, and then we'll talk about investments later. Now, granted, Jay-Z is pretty shrewd in the fact that he's reinvesting, but I think he's getting to the point where, like, these investments is not for a cause. It's for the fact that I can and I will and I am.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He came in and split up the New York basketball franchise and made New York go against New York, then got bored with it and somehow, some way got ousted out of the round table somehow. Oh, well, let me just go on to the next thing. I think I'll hit Barney's. So it's just crazy. Gentlemen, I have to take a break. I'll be back in 4 minutes, okay?
Okay, no problem.
I'm enjoying all of your input, okay?
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, well, we're going to do it old school style. To hell with you, Robin Thicke. This is Marvin Gaye's Got to Give It Up, the original. Be back.
Yeah. I like that. That was nice. That was real clever. I like that.
I'm
Now, back with more On the Edge.
And that's what I'm talking about. Old school, the good stuff. Bringing our guests back in, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the On the Edge with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. And we have three very intriguing, insightful gentlemen speaking tonight on celebrities being conflicted with each other, and is their morals for sale? Is their pride, their identities for sale? Talking in particular about Jay-Z's decision to not immediately pull out of his deal with Barney's, with Barney's considering the three incidents of racial profiling that took place, which gets me because two of them were his fellow industry members. So that one gets me. And then we have historian Henry Louis Gates, who publishes an article stating that the blame of the 1800s slavery was on not the slave masters, but the slaves. So with that being said, so far all three of our panelists agree that they believe it's not simple business as usual type situation. Okay, Deacon Williams, you probably have us all up here with having seen a lot more, you know, growing up, and more so back to, like, you know, the struggles with race. I know that my dad pretty much told us about it. A little bit that I've seen has been more in a modern day type method. But you've actually seen, like, the pure out where it was allowed to be said, segregation type thing. So what is your feel? Or, you know, like, how, when you look at these things that's happening now, especially with the younger members, such as Jay-Z of today's society, how does this make you feel?
Well, it's like he's putting on a mask and walking around and portraying himself as one thing. And then when he sucks people in, he takes off the mask and it's a different face that they see. And that, I think, is not something, a game you should play with, especially with the young people today. They have enough to deal with in today's society. It's very, 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 very sticky situation. I mean, you're in a position to try and help someone else. It's just like I said, you were blessed with a certain thing, and you are supposed to be a blessing to someone else, but you're not supposed to play games with it.
Right.
You know, and that's exactly what I feel he's doing, and he's thinking about himself. Selflessness is a sin. And that's, you know, just what he's thinking about. He's just thinking about himself. That's just my opinion.
I'm on board with that opinion as well. I mean, clearly, like I said, I brought up just one example about him shutting down the hospital ward so that, you know, Beyonce could give birth to their daughter. Meanwhile, Blue Ivy wasn't the only baby born that day.
Right, right. So you're depriving other people from seeing their child? Come on.
He shut it down.
Who in the hell are you?
I think I'm more...
You're just another... Say again?
I said I think I was more with the hospital for allowing that to go on. I don't care who he was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a knucklehead move, huh?
Yeah. That was an arrogant move.
Nice, Rod.
Really arrogant.
That was an audacious, I'm God, I'm entitled, this is my world, my realm, money talks and BS walks, that type of thing. I don't care about your babies, I have mine. You know? It's not enough that everybody would be whispering and trying to walk with their C-section stitches, trying to see if they can get a peek because they knew where she was. It's not enough that they had an armory full of bodyguards to make sure nobody stepped there. Why couldn't they just buy a whole room for the day? Why did you shut down a ward to stop other fathers from going to experience their new bundles of joy? How dare you? You know, I mean, I see that. You know, getting back to the thing with the Trayvon Martin situation, this was one man whose voice would have really stood out with the rest of the powerful people who were on board to boycott Florida. And he decided, not only did he decide to back out the next day, but he did a show with, wait for it, Justin Timberlake. Well, It's all about me. It's what about I see. It's what I do. It's what serves me. Because I'm God, and I can make this decision. And to hell with whoever's beneath me, you are just my royal subordinate. And that got me. But Deacon, you touched on something that's even more delicate and important in this, and that's what the youth is getting from this guy. Many kids want to be Jay-Z or Hove or whatever. They walk around, they want to be Jay, they want to be Z, they want to be this. You know, this is what they are mirroring, what they're imitating. Even on that level, it, you know, what you do can make or break someone else. You might be the one hope that some kid that's unfortunate has. There may not be a parent in that child's life that can say, you know, this is not the way to go. And you know what? They're following what they believe to be a success story and figuring that that's what success looks like and that's the way it acts and that's the way you behave when you're successful. You stomp on people. I'm going to pose the same question to you, Rod, from a younger generation standpoint.
Well, quite a few of the young people look up to the Black Stars. And, you know, once the Black Stars reach a certain level of success, they no longer identify with the other black individuals as we do. They more or less, their blood becomes green, blue-green, if you will, and they see money. So when you get in, when you hear names such as Babyface / Pebbles, you know the TLC deal, how much fun they have with them. I mean, that's an example of that. I mean, they could have done quite a bit for the young blacks with all the money they made from TLC. But what did they do? They bought themselves some nice things.
Yep. And speaking of Pebbles, another example of stupidity in the higher up, here is a singer turned minister. And her biggest front page news was that she's suing Left Eye now. Because Left Eye owed her money from 92. Now, first of all, after the industry pretty much went through raping their income.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I would like to know exactly how the hell she plans to go about this. What she planned to do, exhume the body of Lisa Lopez and say, I'm taking the corpse to court, or she's going to go harass the family that grieves every year for money that was due from somebody that's no longer allowed to pay her. And then had the nerve to say, it don't matter that she's not here. She's still got to pay it. How is she going to do that? She's going to come to you in spirit form, perhaps, with a check?
Well, she passed in Honduras, and all her monies come from that infamous teen Babyface / Babyface camp. So that's who she should look to for any money she believes that she's owed from any of those three women.
Well, actually, yeah, because they control...
Because they control the purse strings, yeah. So that's misdirected.
See how stupid? That's yet another thing that, you know, make us a laughing stock. So now I'm passing the mic over to you, Marvin, and what are your thoughts on the situation?
I'm sorry. Well, as far as when it comes to Babyface and the TLC deal, you know, like you said, it's just another case of us becoming a laughing stock to everybody. Not even in death do we not try to get revenge on our own. You know, we want to hold them culpable for something that they, you know, have no longer control over. You know, what I would say to the younger generation, my generation, is we have to stop putting these rappers, athletes, and actors up on the pedestal when they're not doing nothing for the community. You know, when they're not representing us or even acting like they want to try to help better our situation, there's no need for us to put them in the forefront. There's no need for us to keep on buying Jay-Z. So what we ought to do is boycott anything with Jay-Z's name on it, let alone just boycott Barney's.
That is our power. Those are the things we can do. Grumbling in the corner without action is just that. It's grumbling.
Exactly.
Stay puffed up. What is it going to do? I say, like I said, I like to reference back to being a PTA president. You have all these things to say about how rotten the teacher was to your kid, how your kids are being tested and they're not really being taught, but yet you say it in this corner of a schoolyard while you're waiting for your children to come out of class for the day.
Out of class.
That's not where your power is. Your power is in the Parent Teachers Association.
Exactly. And we don't use our power. Like you said, what we do, we hide in the corner, grumble about what we believe doesn't happen, and we don't make any changes. That's why, you know, I've been trying to push the spiral funding, Black Wall Street, all of these things. If we really want to become an empowered group of people, we can take and use these things as tools to help us to become empowered. But the thing, like you said, you know, people rather just talk about the problem instead of be about the solution.
Wow, we have two more callers. Hang on just a second. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
What's up?
Hi, just give me a minute. There's another call. Well, there's two more callers. You will be first on the queue, okay? Hang on a minute.
Okay.
Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air. Hello?
Think of TLC songs. What about your friends? What about your friends?
All right, wonderful. And welcome to the show, caller. You on the air?
Hey, how you doing this evening? This is Professor Carl Tone Jones.
Hi, Carl. Okay. I got to give the first caller their turn, okay? I'll come to you right after. And I believe...
Sure.
Let me try to see if this. I'm not sure we broke the connection on this one. Hold on.
Yeah,
welcome
to now.
The on the air. All right.
Hello?
Oh, yeah. Wait one second. Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me? Talking to me?
Now I can. Who am I speaking with?
This is the first caller.
Okay. Yeah, no, I wasn't calling for you. So, all right, go ahead. You first.
Okay.
What's your name?
My name is Reese. I'm from Georgia.
Reese?
I'm trying to figure out. Yeah, Reese.
Okay, hi. Okay, hi, Reese. Welcome.
Hey, I'm trying to figure out what would y'all have Jay-Z do? This is what I'm trying to figure out.
What would we have Jay-Z do? Okay, I'll tell you what I think he should do. I think that he should pick up his integrity and his morality and a little bit of the fact that he's an African-American rapper and take the money out of somebody who clearly doesn't respect people of African-American race, which he happens to be one of and a big one, and take it to somebody that can use it, like FUBU, for example. And if he doesn't like FUBU, I'm sure there's other black designers that are out there that could definitely use the Jay-Z boots.
Yeah, I mean, FUBU is dead, you know.
FUBU might be dead.
Yeah.
You know what? Go ahead.
But, I mean, yeah, I mean, Jay-Z could definitely, you know, build another black person's brand or something like that. I mean, you know, I mean, with his type name, you know, but it's like with the crowd and the type of people that he's running with. I mean, I'm sure he really has no creative finger in those products. It's just somebody had a product idea and said we should get Jay-Z's name on it.
I'm not sure.
It's just like a chick.
You know, I know how the protocol goes in this because Shawnee O'Neal, she got her name all over the Basketball Wives franchise, but she don't have a damn thing to say about what happened. But see, here's where she does. She can say, listen, you guys are marketing me as the brand on this thing. I'm not going to have certain things happen, and it comes out on me. But I will say this. For some reason, when it comes to Jay-Z, I doubt for a second that this guy doesn't have full say-so over this project. I doubt for a second that he don't have his hand all in this. Because right now, he's busy telling New York Daily News. Why is he being unfairly demonized for not wanting to get out of this based on what happened? Now, you tell me what this is. I'm not saying kill his project by no means, but I'm saying that it could be taken to some place that would really make a difference. What does Barney need with another million?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But where's the heat on all the other black celebrities? I mean, where's the heat on Oprah? Where's the heat on, you know what I mean?
Oh, Oprah's a whole nother segment, sir. Trust me when I tell you, she's on the hook with me, too. Because all I've seen her do is give away a couple of cars. She went over to Africa, gave some girls. I think probably the best thing she did was to give those girls over there a chance to go to school. The rest I see is bestsellers in the muffin basket with a big expensive teddy bear and some spa stuff for her show guests. I haven't seen her do anything else outwardly for black communities, per se.
Yeah, but, I mean, but like, with Jay-Z, I mean, I think Jay-Z's brand, like his, like the brand image that he's going for is luxury, you know what I mean? So that's why I could see why he would partner with a Barney or, you know what I mean?
So it's okay for him to just partner with a white organization instead of trying to uplift his own people? That makes sense?
I mean, it doesn't make sense, but there is really no black luxury type, you know, brands out.
Because for the simple fact of what he's doing now, and that's what's wrong with our people. They get to a certain status, and this is what they do.
Just the idea of, let's say, black luxury just really doesn't make financial sense. You know what I'm saying? Because most black people don't have that kind of disposable income.
Background noise is interfering. I can't understand what he's saying. And even without the background noise, it's really hard to understand. Make me understand of what you're saying.
What I'm saying is most black people don't have that kind of disposable income to go and drop luxury money on luxury items.
Which is our point. $1 trillion.
Why
would he give more money to an already thriving billion-dollar business that's already $1 billion because they're overpriced in the first place? Then they cater to what they feel is the elite, and your money as a black person is good enough for them to take, but not good enough to treat you as a real consumer.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I don't believe in spending my money in like luxury stores and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So really, I can really care less about the deal because I'm not spending $300 for a shirt anyway. I mean, but that's just me. But you have some people out there that will save up for months just to go out and buy a Gucci purse or some red bottom shoes and all this kind of stuff. I mean, me personally, I think that's more of the general issue than anything.
No, sir. The issue is that this prominent figure who's a multi-million dollar figure in the black race, didn't get appalled enough by three incidents, two of them belonging to his fellow industry members, okay, being treated like dogs and thieves when they were giving this man 16 grand on the table with purchases straight up, giving them an $8,000 purchase, a $3,000 purchase, and because of who they were, to these people in their limited thinking, they weren't considered consumers. They were considered people who have stole somebody else's money to get what they want. That's what this is about. The fact that this man is not appalled enough to say that my integrity isn't for sale. He's a smart businessman. He didn't get to where he is for being stupid by any means. But why not take it to some place where integrity is also attached, like a place where you came from? He's damn sure playing the struggle of the projects to the fullest extent of his rags to riches story.
I mean, yeah, but also at the same time, that one store really doesn't represent the entire organization as a whole.
You're not getting the point, sir. We're talking about
I get the point. I mean, yes, yes, they were unfairly labeled or whatever. I mean, I get that.
They were arrested until they just figured out what was going on. A young kid was told somebody's credit card, even though he was showing proof. They didn't want to hear it. Wiz Khalifa was giving cash, and they still said he was a thief.
I know. I mean, some people are racist, but that still doesn't mean the whole organization is racist as a whole.
No. It makes Jay-Z, what we're saying, selling out what should be integrity and black pride of himself. That's what we're saying. Let me ask you a question. If one McDonald's sold a bad hamburger, you got sick from it, will you not go to all the McDonald's?
No, I would just, because I've already had plenty of experiences at McDonald's, I would clearly say, well, that was just bad McDonald's.
Right. But usually, you know what, on the whole, and I could tell you from having been in the fast food business for 24 years, the first thing that happens is when one customer from a place that could be 500 miles away from your location talks about your company, everybody's gone. And you're going to have to gain them back. All right? Wendy's had a mountain of chili scare from somebody who actually was planning a whole scheme. Everybody got tagged. But eventually, people started learning us for remembering the relationship we had with us as staff. So we wind up being able to appeal to that. What exactly can Jay-Z appeal to now with his black people doing this after everything that's been publicized? And two of them were stars. This is what I'm trying to tell you, stars in his field. And it's like he doesn't give a damn. It's all about the money for me. Listen, I don't care. And to top it off, I think what would make it worse to a person is if, let's say, you went with your girlfriend to this McDonald's. You got sick. She got outraged for you. Started a strike against McDonald's. Made something happen. And you decide that you want to have a Big Mac and you go back, not just to McDonald's, but to the same McDonald's that made you sick. How do you think that your girlfriend and the people who rallied for you would feel?
Well, yeah, I mean, I definitely wouldn't want to go back to the same McDonald's that made me sick.
But I'm saying, how would you feel, how do you think that people around you would feel if you actually chose that same McDonald's? That's in essence exactly what Jay-Z's doing. It's not that he's going to a white department store. He's going back to the Barney that did all three of these incidents to his fellow co-workers in the industry.
Well,
and it
for Jay-Z, I'm sure that the check is cut is going to be cut up front. So he really doesn't care how the product does because he's getting his money off top.
It's not about Jay-Z is a moneymaker. He's a rainmaker. We got it. I'm not talking about the money or his product or how great his product is. I'm talking about the fact that he could take the franchise of that product and give it back to people who actually do think their customers are people and don't think that blacks in particular are targets of animalistic behavior. That's what the fight is. Not about the fact that he chose to open a clothing line. But that he chose to open a clothing line with a racist facility, and on top of that, the racist facility that's the culprit of all the incidents.
Well,
and
okay,
then
so where's...
Say, why are you demonizing me? What?
Well, where's your praise for him when he started the whole boycott on Cristal, when Cristal was talking sideways about black? I mean, the head people of Cristal were talking shit about black people, and so he was the first one to come out and boycott Cristal.
You're right. Now let me ask you a question. You know where it went for me? It went right down the drain. He sat there and started to join a Stand Your Ground law in honor of Trayvon Martin and then turned around and went to change his mind and performed with Justin Timberlake the very next day. That's where it went for me. Cristal, that's liquor. And guess what? He'll be the first person buying another brand of liquor. So what does that do for the community? It's not about what he made. It's about the fact, in my opinion, he sold out on this. This was a time for him to use his power, a big man that could really make a dent in a position and take a stand against this type of ridiculous nonsense and
right,
show
so,
the right way.
So you think Jay-Z being there would have changed the verdict?
What are you talking about? It wasn't about the verdict. It was about the fact that we all stood our ground. Don't you understand? They don't understand anything except losing money. That's when they'll start taking, at least pretending to give a damn about the cause. Jay-Z standing their ground and joining forces with the likes of Stevie Wonder, who, by the way, is greater than Jay-Z on any given day. Melba Moore. Okay, Harry Belafonte has given up quite a few big offers because they told him that they'll give him millions of dollars if only he will take out a few extra black people that's going to be on his jazz program. He said, no, thank you. It was a stand for him. He walked away with integrity and saying that I don't believe my race should be treated like animals. Didn't that happen enough in our history?
Me personally, I'm not big upping, you know, Jay-Z for what he did, but, you know, I'm not trying to demonize him for what he did either. That's all I'm saying.
He's not a demon. He's just a sellout, in my opinion. Call, I'm going to have to get the other caller to get his part in for a second. Okay, Reese, hold on.
Okay.
Call, kindly give us your opinion on this, sir. I'm sorry. Thank you for being patient.
Oh, okay. I'm sitting here listening. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I definitely appreciate your show. I tuned in a little late, but, you know, I think I got the gist of it all. I have a few points that I want to look at. People like our entertainers, they carry themselves and they look at themselves through the eyes of white supremacy. And we need to really pay attention to the fact that white supremacy plays a role in every dynamic that we deal with in this country. Not only in this country, but in the world, but we're just talking about here in this country. So when we're looking at people like Jay-Z, Oprah, and all those people to appeal to the system of white supremacy far sooner than they do to us, and there's reasons for that. One of the reasons is there are no consequences for disrespecting to degrade the black community. There are no consequences. We don't stick together. And the black community in itself has a fear of white backlash and white supremacy, so we splinter. We don't stand for anything. You have people who are defending this action by Jay-Z strictly because they're concerned with how, either consciously or subconsciously, how they look at themselves through the eyes of white supremacy. So, you know, we have to understand that. And we have to also understand that if we ever did take the stand, it would have to be an economic stand because right now we don't have the resources. We don't own anything in this country. The only thing we have is our money. And when all you have is money, then unless you consolidate that money and aggregate your money to a cause, then you will not have any controlling power. And unfortunately, we can't even get the black community to stop buying Jordans. You know, even though the first pair of Jordans came out, the kid got killed in Chicago, and Michael Jordan said, well, it's not my fault. You know, and he could have easily did what Stephon Marbury tried to do when he reduced the price of his sneakers. You know, but he didn't, and if you look at Michael Jordan, if you look at Jay-Z, they have no accountability. I mean, we're talking about a person who said that his presence is charity. His presence is charity, that he should serve as an inspiration, and that should be enough for the black community. Community's response should have been, well, you're going to observe us no longer buying your products. You know, we're not going to keep filling your pockets up because we're the number one consumers. I mean, I heard a brother say that we don't have any money. Well, we as a community, and I say community loosely, we as a community grows nearly $1 trillion a year. The money that we spend, that we're going to spend in about 3 weeks, is going to be close to $500 million. So I'm talking about Black Friday. And that's just strictly the money coming out of the black community. We could take that money and withhold it and do a lot of damage to a lot of different things if we ever were consolidated. But because we've been broken down so much by the system of white supremacy, we live our lives in a system of self-hate, and we try to marginalize that or try to address that self-hatred with material gain. So, you know, we're going to be struggling for a minute until we change, until we unlearn so much of the damage that has been done to us over these years.
That's true. And there's something that Deacon Williams, there was a term that Deacon Williams used earlier where he said, we are in self-imprisonment or enslaving ourselves. And I know that, you know, Carl, you have been on listening in on the three-part segment we did on victimization. And one of the things that I have always told people that have gone through the experiences I've been through, that one of the biggest prisons you could be in is the one you put yourself in. Because if you know you have your own keys, you're not going to ever let yourself out without running back in because you're afraid of what's on the other side of the door. The thing is that Jay-Z has struggled so long in the project. I can guarantee you he just sat there and said, one day, the day that I get this, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And I think that now he's all about, you know, I'm going to pay to play because I can do that now. And, you know, however I get it, everything else be damned. Forget the integrity, forget the whatever. But this was not one of those things to push away so lightly. Even if it's the aim that your gimmick is to be controversial on purpose. You understand? So it's not one. This is a very serious and long-term issue. And, yes, we know it exists. And, yes, it's a long-term fight. But we have to, at some point, keep on saying that as many times as you swing it, I'm going to swing back.
Well, one of the things that, you know, you say that struck a bell is, well, you were talking about how, you know, he continues to buy his way into the system. And I'm going to counter that by saying the system keeps reminding him, excuse my language, I got your nigga wake-up call.
Right.
You know, let's go back a little bit when Jay-Z first bought into the then New Jersey Nets. He was reminded at the stockholders meeting that he does not have any controlling interest. They pimped Jay-Z to gentrify Brooklyn to build the Barclays Center. Again, Jay-Z called, you know, wants to sit, he tries again to get a seat at the table of white supremacy as a football agent, and then they snatched the shirt from under him and told him, basically, we're coming up with a Jay-Z fool. So you need a college degree in order to be a sports agent now to work with NFL. And the NFL union did this, not the league itself, but the players union did this. So every time Jay-Z wants to get a seat at the table of white supremacy, I guess he believes because he actually meets with these blue bloods, the proprietors of white supremacy, that he feels as though he's one of them. But what he doesn't understand is he has honorary white status. And if you know anything about apartheid and what happened in South Africa, they had a system where they would assign a black person in Africa, they would assign them cards, giving them honorary white status. So in literal terms, check it out. During apartheid, they would get, you know, they had to show ID and they had to have passes to be in certain places in South
Isn't
Africa.
Isn't his brother card enough?
what's happening is
they get a little name tag.
There's no longer a card set, but there's a boule status here that we're talking
right.
about. And he is part of, we have to make no mistake, he, Oprah, Bill Cosby, all these people are part of that black boule. And they serve as the buffer for white supremacy. And the problem we have is so many people in the community get caught up in the fact that, oh, you're talking about secret societies, or you're talking about conspiracies, that they won't acknowledge that these systems, these people, these organizations actually exist. And not only do they exist in a fashion that they remain secret. I mean, they're called secret societies for a reason. They operate in secrecy. So they have a plan in place, and that's why you had, right now you have people defending this the actions of Jay-Z, and you have people defending the actions of a Bill Cosby and things of that nature, and they But these same people, when you try to get them to consolidate their money and to stop the gentrification in their neighborhoods, they're the same people that say, oh, what good is it going to do? So, you know, we have a long road to trot, and, you know, the play behind me saying all of this is there, it gets back to my original point. There is no consequence to anybody selling out the black community, demonizing the black community, killing anybody in the black community. Jim Crow is back new and improved. This is Jim Crow 5.0. I mean, we really have to look at this because stuff like this is happening out in the open now where you have, you know, Jay-Z, all he's missing is blackface now. And let's be honest, even the Klan wore hats and wore hoods because they feared some small piece of retribution, whatnot. Now you got stuff happening in the open, and you got us, we're buying into it. The black community is buying into selling out for the system of white supremacy just to get crumbs to fall off the table more now than at any time. You know, you would have thought slavery died, but there's an old saying. As long as we were in chains, we weren't slaves. We were prisoners. Slavery happened when they took the chains off. Because now we're willingly staying on the plantation. We're willingly trying to get to the master's house. We're willingly trying to be a part of the master's family. We're willingly allowing ourselves to settle for the scraps, you know, just to get a seat at the table of white supremacy. And that is always at the core of any particular issue concerning race. And that is at the core of this situation here.
Well, I want to ask you to touch on one of the things you just said. What about those people that don't have a chance in hell of becoming, you know, in the area to bump elbows with anybody in the big wig area of white supremacy? These people are being affected by what they're choosing to not do, what they're choosing to give in to. You understand, like you said, we'll go out and spend $300 on Jordans and don't have a car to drive our kids around in or, you know, a place. And the thing is, we don't have anything but money. It may be welfare benefits. It may be just our disability, but we will spend the hell out of it. Like you said, if they took that back, the only thing that these people understand is losing money.
Well,
the boycott,
you know,
the boycott of the Alabama buses only happened because the transit started losing money out there, not because they gave a damn or really thought about the fact of the reason why the boycott happened in the first place.
No, you're absolutely right, and that's the bottom line. The bottom line is the bottom line. And can I ask a question?
You know what?
Yes.
Okay, out of that $1 trillion that you said black people bring in, how much of that is actually disposable income? That's really the key question. So my question is also, if we stop spending, what industries could we really wreck? And I'm sure they won't be vital to the economy.
No, well, here's the deal with that. That is the disposable income. Now, when you think about where we spend our money, first of all, we are the number one consumers. We are the number one consumers of all merchandise in this country. We are. We consume more. We make up 13% of the population, and we consume more gross product than anybody else in this country. So we are the number one consumers. Look at the commercials. The commercials are marketed towards us. The commercials aren't marketed towards the white community. They're not marketed towards the Latino community or the Asian community. The commercials are marketed towards us. All the advertising is marketed towards us. So they know, and we also watch more TV than everybody else too. But they know where certain things, I mean, look at it like this. Mercedes-Benz sells for itself. You don't need a commercial for a Mercedes-Benz. The cars, Lexus, whatever, they sell for themselves. They don't need merchandise. But we are the ones that you go into the department stores, you go into the Walmarts, you go into the Sears. It doesn't matter what neighborhood you go into. You're going to see black consumers in there consuming. And it's to the point where now people are fooled by calling it consumer power. And there's only consumer power if we consolidate it. So what industries can we hurt? well, let's see, we can't hurt the electric companies, we can't hurt the gas companies or the water companies, things of that nature. We know this because we need this to live. But we can hurt the automobile industry, we can hurt the clothing lines, we can hurt the electronic industry, the television industry. You know, we can make a dent in any industry we choose to. Think about the fact that these guys went to this store to buy a $300 belt. Are you serious, Max? Like, that's ludicrous to me. But at the same time, he went to the store and bought this $300 belt. And I know people who do that. I'm pretty sure you do, too. There are no people that will spend whatever. We're talking about their gross income, right? They will, let's say they gross $600. Let's say they bring home a net of $600 in paycheck for a week, and they'll spend $300 on those pair of shoes, the new Jordans that just came out. They'll buy those things, those products, knowing that they're going to have to cut back on things that they need. They're going to have to cut back on their electric bills, their utility bills. They're going to have to cut back on their groceries. But they'll make that sacrifice to buy those Jordans. Why can't we make that sacrifice to build our own schools? Why can't we make that sacrifice to make people accountable? Now, we can all say, listen, nope, when Jay-Z's next album drops, none of us will buy it on iTunes. None of us will go to the store and pick it up. None of us, let's bootleg his stuff. We can make him pay for that. That's what I'm talking about. And that's just a person. As in terms of the actual industries, the industries are built on the backs of us. This country never stopped making money off of black labor.
Yeah, but do you think if all black people just stop shopping at Barney's, do you think they'll miss us? If just like all the black people stop drinking Cristal. Do you think they really miss the black dollars?
Well, see, we're talking apples and oranges here, okay? The issue isn't if black people stop shopping at Barney's. The thing is, Jay-Z's name sells in Barney's. The fact that Jay-Z's there, black people aren't the only ones that buy Jay-Z's products. So Jay-Z in itself, His endorsement appeal is at Barney's. It's working itself out at Barney's. Just like Jay-Z helped fill the arena for the Barclays Center. Jay-Z's presence filled that arena before the team was ever any good, you know. So we have to understand that our people, you know, there's a reason why celebrities are used to sell products. Because they're the symbols, they're the ones everybody wants to aspire to. They're our fantasy. They're our, you know, how we see ourselves in the fantasy. We see ourselves as celebrities. We see ourselves as rich. You know, we see ourselves as entertainers. So we want to be like the entertainers. We want to dress and act like the entertainers. So yes, I think it would make a dent. But more so, that would be a statement that was made more than a financial thing. That would actually be a statement. And sometimes movements need catalysts to happen, especially when the people are asleep. And right now, we're not just asleep. We're in a coma. So we need something to shake us out of this coma. And
I have to interrupt you. I'm very sorry. I'm down to my last 5 minutes. I want to touch on something that you just said to answer his question. Do I think that they'll really listen or it'll make a difference or they'll miss our dollars? Maybe not at first. When our ancestors stopped getting on that bus, they tried everything to force them back on. They hosed them down. They sent dogs after them. They spit on them. They knocked them down. But eventually, something happened. Something huge happened. And the thing is, if we stop being afraid of making the small changes, okay, or breaking out of routine, we actually might do something. So I need to go around and get the final words from our panelists. Deacon, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
All right. Your final thoughts on this. We have about 8 minutes left.
You know, it's like I said, that we're everybody thinks that slavery doesn't exist. It does exist. It's just more modernized, and it's just not out in the open. But as far as our people, we tend to escape ourselves. And I always question myself, well, when in the world are we going to start waking up and start walking around with our eyes wide shut? Because, you see, if you come into the inner cities and you notice the people that come in, They open up their little carryouts and their little grocery stores who can't even speak our English correctly. But we allow it to happen because we're not standing up and we're not making enough noise in our own communities to fight for what is rightfully ours. And we're not going to ever receive anything, and we keep sitting back in our corner just mumbling amongst ourselves. That's not going to happen. So we need to start stepping it up, hey, and stop being worried about what somebody else is doing because they've been blessed in a certain position and not doing what should be done, and that's blessing someone else so they can continue being blessed.
Thank you, sir. Rod?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Your final thought?
I think it's easy to start the discussion with us against them, them being the evil white people. But as time progresses slowly forward, it becomes apparent that more and more black people are making larger and larger amounts of money, and their influence from the rap and sports world is great. And once we somehow net our power together, you know, the older blacks, somehow lessen that void between the younger black people come today. And, you know, and remind them what they came from and the direction that we want to go, that us against them mentality will disappear because we have several individuals such as Jay-Z and Babyface alive and kicking today. So we'll remind us it's not the evil white people all by themselves who are doing all the dastardly deeds.
Thank you very much, Rod. That was a very good point. Reese, your turn.
Who, me?
Yes.
I'd just like to say I'm tired of the, of entertainment being the only way black people can really build wealth in this country. I'm ready to see black banks. I'm ready to see black oil. I'm ready to see black manufacturing.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, people always complain about the way things are, but the black dollars won't ever come together to actually build a infrastructure for ourselves.
You know what? I'm going to touch on that in my final remarks, so stay with me. And that was an excellent point. Okay, Marvin, I'm bringing you back in. Your turn.
Okay, yes. So I want to capitalize off of what he said as far as the black dollars not supporting one another for infrastructure. Well, I'd like to tell everybody out there who's listening to check out www.starfunding.com. It's part of Black Wall Street International. Basically, what they're doing is they're making a pool of all the black money that comes in, and they're putting that money together to hopefully open up 75 black businesses per month. This is something that is for us, created by us, and it's something that will deal with the problem that we are suffering in this white supremacist world. I'm not saying all white people are evil, this and that. No, that's not the point. The point is that black folks have been here in America far too long to not to have things that will help them survive, their basic needs. So check out www.spiralfunding.com, the Comedic Pipeline, and you can be a part of the solution. You can sign up. You can get your friends to sign up. And if you have a business idea, if you have a business proposition or a business plan, that plan can be taken in full effect if you're a part of that spiralfunding.com. So there are solutions out there, and they're right there in your face if you take a look.
Thank you, Marvin. I have to give the last little minute to Carl. So, Carl, your final thoughts?
Well, I agree with everything the brothers are saying, as well as you, Katie. We need to get to the point where we're utilizing our dollars so that we can collectively gain some wealth. We have the dollars. We just need to gain the wealth. So I think we need to work on the group economic aspect. If you can just jot down that website again, if you can put it on your page at some point or on the Facebook page, I would appreciate it because I really want to check that out. Also, we need to look into the group economics that Dr. Claude Anderson is putting out there. That's definitely an excellent economic plan. I think that we need to come together and make people accountable for us by doing things like boycotting, by withholding our dollar from things that don't benefit us.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Carl. And absolutely, Marvin, on the spiral funding. I was looking into that, and it is a nice little way to do what I keep saying to do something small to get to the big thing. You know,
yes.
That's what you can do. And these my final remarks. Reese, what you said, yeah, absolutely right. I'm tired of seeing it that all you could be is either some actor in a black oppressed movie, you know, talking about you were a crack hoe or you were beaten or you were dumb or you got to be a rapper talking about killing a hoe, raping a bitch, doing this, you know, all this stuff so that we could be seen or meet something. No, we got brains. We've got resourcefulness. We've got resilience. We've got persistence. We've got the mind to strategize and make something happen from nothing. The problem is we are taking all of that stuff and looking at what the next boy got and thinking we're never going to get that because we're trying to get it as we see the finished product and not the work. Do it one step at a time. Do it one step at a time. You're going to hear people talking nonsense. You're going to hear people say, oh, you dreaming. Well, let me dream then. And while I continue doing it, eventually I'm going to be dreaming enough for both of us. That's what it takes. It takes effort at all times. It takes a try. Nothing beats failure but a try. So
hey,
with that said, I have to go.
Another thing.
I do have to go. Our credits are rolling down here. So, I want to thank all of you, every single one of you, for finding this show worthy enough to be a part of, to call in, to take time out of your night to come and sit with us and hash it out over here. So until tomorrow night, everybody, at 8:30, please be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference. God bless you. See you tomorrow.
All right. You guys, everyone, be blessed.
All right. Y'all take care.
Good night.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.